Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Borosil Limited Q4 FY24 conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Joshi.
Yeah, thanks, Renju. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we all welcome you to Q4 FY24 and FY24 results conference call of Borosil Limited. We have with us today senior management represented by Mr. Shreevar Kheruka, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Anand Sultania, CFO, and Mr. Balesh Talapady, Vice President, Investor Relations and Business Analysis. Now, I hand over the call to the management for the initial comments on the quarterly as well as annual performance, and then we will open the floor for question and answer session. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
So thank you, Aniruddha, and ICICI Securities for arranging this call. Good afternoon to every one of you. We are delighted to be communicating with you once again from Borosil. Borosil Limited's board approved the company's financial results for Q4 FY24 and full year FY24 on 24th May 2024. Our results and an updated presentation have been sent to the stock exchanges and have also been uploaded on the company's website. We had earlier announced our plan to restructure the company's consumer and scientific business into two distinct publicly listed entities through a composite arrangement scheme. The appointed date for the scheme was 1st April 2022, and the scheme has been made effective from 2nd December 2023. Pursuant to the scheme, the scientific and industrial products business of the company stands demerged into Borosil Scientific Limited. At this point of time, we still await regulatory approvals for Borosil Scientific Limited for listing on the stock exchanges, which is expected to be completed by mid of June 2024. In today's call, we shall focus and discuss about Borosil Limited, which houses our consumer products business. We are very pleased that Borosil Limited had a fantastic year 2023-2024. Our consolidated revenues from operations for FY24 was INR 942.3 crores as against INR 741.6 crores last year, which is an industry-leading growth of 27% over the same period last year. I would like to acknowledge and thank the entire Borosil team along with our stakeholders, including customers, suppliers, and shareholders, for contributing towards this growth. Your dedication, not just over the past year but in the years prior to, has built a strong foundation and enabled the execution of a robust strategy that has brought us to where we are today. I'm very proud of the team's achievements and am also excited for the future. During the year, the company achieved a consolidated EBITDA before exceptional one-time items and investment income of INR 144.9 crores as against INR 81.6 crores last year. The EBITDA margin was 15.4% in FY24 as against 11% in the previous year. Here, I would also like to mention that the other income includes INR 5.5 crores of shared service support income, the underlying expenses of which are reported under total expenses. That is shared service for other group companies, the cost of which is borne by Borosil Limited and is recovered by way of other income. Profit before tax during FY24 was INR 87.8 crores as against INR 66 crores in FY23. Last year, we had an insurance claim resulting in an exceptional gain of INR 9.33 crores and one-time net gain of INR 3.85 crores. The investment income is higher by about INR 4.32 crores during FY24 compared to last year, whereas depreciation and finance costs are much higher this year by about INR 32.6 crores, primarily due to the new opal furnace commissioning during Q4 of FY23. During FY24, Borosil recorded a consolidated profit after tax of INR 65.9 crores as compared to INR 51.9 crores in the previous year. Coming to our business-wise performance, Borosil's consumer business, comprising glassware products and non-glassware products under the brand Borosil and its opalware range under the brand Larah, are the two main separate brands that we have. Larah opalware is a dining and tableware range known for contemporary designs and impeccable finish, and this is sales of INR 357.7 crores in FY24 as against INR 260.6 crores in FY23, marking a significant increase of 37% from the previous year. Our glassware products comprising of microwavables, servingware, glass tumblers, and borosilicate lunch boxes, as well as glass storage, experienced a growth of 11.3%, reaching INR 198 crores in revenue as against INR 177.9 crores in FY23. Our non-glassware products comprising of small home appliances, insulated bottles and flasks, cookware, this also displayed a rapid growth of 27.5%, generating a turnover of INR 386.5 crores as against INR 260.6 crores in FY23. The strong performance across all our categories underscores the successful execution of our strategy to broaden the Borosil brand's offering to cater to diverse kitchen and serving needs in Indian households. It also reflects the enduring equity and appeal of the Borosil brand across different product ranges. Over the past few years, Borosil's consumer business has successfully diversified beyond its primary focus on microwavable glass products and has established three robust pillars that ensure sustainable future growth. The glassware, opalware, and non-glassware verticals have all reached significant sizes and are poised for further expansion as their penetration and usage frequency increase. In FY24, Borosil has launched thousands of new SKUs across our these three ranges, amongst which include Borosil's new Artisan series, borosilicate jars and containers, coffee mates, air fryers, and gas stoves, which have been well accepted by customers. Furthermore, new designs in opalware, opalware lunch boxes, and storage sets, Kulhard mugs, have gained high traction amongst users. Borosil continuously seeks to increase its digital presence and engagement and also engage in brand associations. We have entered into brand endorsement arrangement with celebrity chef Harpal Singh Sokhi. For the hydrated range in flasks and bottles, Borosil has been the hydration partner to the Indian Olympic Association for the Paris Olympics coming up shortly. To enhance brand awareness and strengthen brand recall, Borosil utilizes a diverse array of promotional and marketing efforts, including in-shop displays, merchandising, advertisements in print as well as social media, retail branding, and product branding. The organization has developed a strong brand identity through effective brand advertisement and marketing campaign, including the Borosil OTG campaign as well as the Lara festive campaign. Borosil has a well-established subscriber base, which is continuously growing on all social media platforms. We also run automated campaigns on Google Ads services as well as comments campaigns across Facebook and YouTube on a periodic basis. The brand is further actively promoted through various influencers across food and lifestyle sections. Coming to the balance sheet, average operating capital employed in the business, that is capital employed without CWIP and investments, was INR 601.2 crores. During FY24, the company earned an operating profit, again before exceptional and one-time items and before income from investments, of INR 19 crores, translating into an annualized operational ROCE of 15.1%. The ROC is expected to increase going forward with improved margins as we enhance our manufacturing base as well as higher capacity utilization from our new manufacturing capacities. As of 31st March 2024, the company has a net debt of INR 159.4 crores. Investments as on date are INR 92.3 crores. Our primary goal at the moment is to expand our brand franchise. We are focusing on upgrading and converting consumers from plastic and melamine to glass storage and opalware, while also increasing adoption of glassware and microwavable products. To broaden our selection, we continue to introduce new items, including portable high-grade steel products as well as home appliances. Our aim is to establish Borosil and Lara as go-to brands in this region for storage, preparation, cooking, heating, and serving needs. As previously communicated, a new borosilicate pressure facility in Jaipur with a capacity of 25 tons per day was commissioned on January 31, 2024. Further, we are pleased to announce that commercial production at this facility began on March 28, 2024. This initiative will reduce our dependence on imports, enhance our product offering, and meet domestic as well as international demand for borosilicate glass pressware and provide a competitive edge through lower production costs. Borosil Limited is committed to adhering to sustainability principles, emphasizing on responsible business practices. In this regard, we have also developed an ESG roadmap that is a significant target for the company in environmental, social, and governance sections. This progress is regularly monitored and reported to key stakeholders through periodic reviews. We have created, modified various policies such as ESG policy, our sustainable supply chain policy, and equal opportunity policy, etc., to name a few. We have also formulated and deployed a supply code of conduct for sustainable supply chain practices. We have communicated our ESG targets and related initiatives in our annual and CSR reports. This year, we have taken a step ahead and have proposed an integrated reporting framework to showcase our ESG efforts. We remain highly optimistic about the medium-term prospects for our consumer business. While we may encounter periods of slow growth and cautious consumer behavior, which is mostly cyclical in nature, we anticipate robust growth in our sectors due to favorable long-term trends. Our primary focus will be on expanding our customer base, launching innovative new products, and optimizing our supply chain and marketing channels. Additionally, we will continue to invest in enhancing our brand's visibility. Thank you for your attention. With that, I'd like to throw the floor open to questions.
Should we open the floor for questions?
Yes, please.
All right. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee with Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So my first question is with respect to the FY25 growth outlook for both consumer glass and opalware. On consumer glass, growth has been around 11% this year. Do you expect the next year to be on similar fashion, or as the utilization increases, the growth will be much stronger? And secondly, opalware, it seems that the volumes are more or less at peak utilization. So how much growth can be expected for the next year?
Yeah, so as far as the glassware business is concerned, now that we have our new manufacturing facility, I do expect growth to be substantially higher than the 11-12% we had last year. The reason being, as I mentioned, that we are able, in the past also, we can add lots of new products, and we have also some pricing advantages with our own manufacturing. Our goal is to make it an everyday use item, glass to make the everyday use item. And for that, in some products, we would like to offer pricing which is more competitive. And I can tell you that overall, glassware will definitely be, should drive growth this year. Coming to opalware, we are at about 80% capacity utilization. And I think we have a good shot at going to the closer to the 100% level. So we do have, room to grow. But rather than commenting year to year, I would say that broadly I have always been, mentioning a 15 to 20% kind of CAGR growth. And I think we have been slightly ahead of that. But I would expect that there should not be any change in the, medium term, say, growth forecast.
Got it, sir. That is helpful. Nextly, on your cost base, if I compare Q3 2024 to Q4 2024, employee expenses and other expenses have gone up by around 12 crores, and depreciation is up by around 3 crores. So if you could help us understand what has led to this, if there is any bonus payment that has been recorded, and if any of the new furnace, borosilicate pressware furnace costs have already been booked in Q4.
Yeah, I think the answer, you already answered the question across yourself, because of our, and in fact, I alluded to it in my opening remarks. Now Borosil Group has three, the third company will be listed soon, but basically we're operating as if we have three listed entities. And Borosil Limited, all the support functions are at Borosil Limited. And Borosil Limited recovers the costs of these functions which are given to Borosil Scientific as well as Borosil Renewables. and that comes as other income. So whatever we recover comes from as other income, whereas the expenses in the employee cost or the relevant head. So therefore, the costs do look a bit inflated, because this has started in the last quarter, actually, this whole shared services function. So it's showing a little bit higher, but you have to offset some other income against these expenses, which will give you a fair picture. Secondly, yes, definitely we did do have bonuses that we have given because we had a good year, so there's some amount of one-time aspect to that, which has come in. And as you rightly mentioned, our depreciation also has gone up. So Q4 numbers have been a little bit more muted, but those are, as I mentioned, you have to take some amount of other income, and whatever overall EBITDA margins we maintain, I think that's sustainable and will also grow in the coming years.
Got it, sir. If you could just specifically comment on the new furnace, because that's going to change the complexion of the P&L, at least in the next couple of quarters.
Yes.
So, have you already booked any cost? And I'm talking employee, other expenses, and depreciation.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah, employee costs have. So look, there are quite a few employees which were hired many months ago, and they have already been baked into the system. Okay. But I think more the employee cost is a small fraction. The challenge with any production line is always, let's say, the ramp up to full efficiency. So we are not there yet, and it will take maybe two or three quarters for us to achieve the full efficiency. So more than employee costs, I think the power and fuel, while we are expending it, the costs, the efficiency being lower, there'll be slightly higher inflated power and fuel costs. Employee costs, like I said, would not be materially different going forward. Of course, everybody gets increments, so that there will be some increment associated with it. But the other expenses, let's say the fixed overhead expenses, will be spread over a smaller base just till we achieve the full efficiency. So that will impact, at least in that section of the business, for two, three quarters, I would say. It's hard for me to elaborate on the quantum because I don't know it myself, but there will be some impact.
Got it. My last question is, if I talk in terms of full year margins, right, for your consumer division, if I see in FY24, your full year EBITDA margin was around 14% pre-other income. Obviously, some amount of other income needs to be taken, so probably a few bits more. This 14% margin, when I think about it from a next year perspective, where H1 is going to be impacted and probably as inflation increases, the margins will improve. Should we expect a margin hit, decline, improvement, if you can give some directional sense for the next year as a whole, this is your projections?
So actually, this year's EBITDA margin was 15.4%. If you net off, I think the relevant points of other income versus the extra cost. So actually, our EBITDA margin for our operations was 15.4% in this year, and that's FY24. It's hard for me to give you specific numbers for FY25. All I can say is that the borosilicate furnace that we've added short term may have some impact, but I would say it would dramatically help improve EBITDA in the coming year. And now, when we are able to reach the full efficiency, like I said, maybe two or three quarters. But once we hit full efficiency and our sales, we are seeing good traction there. If we're able to sell the tonnages that are coming from here, I think our EBITDA margin will substantially improve. In the short run, in the first two, three quarters, what is the impact? Whether net will it reduce EBITDA margin or will we be able to sustain this? It's very hard for me to be specific about it. And I frankly don't even know. It depends on too many other factors. We are investing in the business from a long-term perspective. And therefore, one or two quarters, when we know the root cause of the challenge, I don't think is that frankly being that important. So I'm afraid I won't be able to share with you exact numbers because I don't know.
Sir, and when you say full efficiency, what utilization would that mean? Like you said, in 2 to 3 quarters' time.
75 to 80% would be, we may be at about 50-55 now. We'll go to 75-80%. We'll achieve it. Sorry.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Vipul Kumar Anupchand Shah with Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So what is the reason for sharp drop in all categories when we compare the sales for all three categories to the December quarter, sir?
Well, our business is quite a cyclical business in the sense that Q3 was Diwali quarter. So actually, in 1 month, you have more or less 2 months of sale. Diwali was a bit later this year as well. So I would say that is the main reason. But it would be right to compare Q4 versus Q4 of last year, where we have had a significant.
That is the right way to compare.
Yes. And there we have shown a significant growth. So I would encourage you to look at Q4 versus Q4 owing to the cyclical nature of it.
Sir, what will be the ramp-up schedule of this new furnace? And at full capacity utilization, will be able to manufacture 100% of glass products from that furnace, or still some imports will be there?
So actually, this furnace has three times the capacity of our current sales. So it's actually 300%. So we need to grow our business by almost, let's say, 2 and a half or 3 times, depending on the price benefits we may give our customers. But in principle, that's the capacity is more than enough to manufacture to compensate for everything that we are buying as far as pressware is concerned. There are some products, glassware products, which are, like I said, blown products, which are very small in volume, which we'll continue to import. That's because this production is not set up for that. And as far as ramp-up is concerned, like I said before, 6 to 9 months, I think we should achieve the full efficiency that we expect to achieve.
But to achieve the three times the current sales, we need to capture market wins.
Yeah.
We'll be taking some price action due to lower cost?
Yes, that's right. As I mentioned earlier, we would definitely give in some categories of products where we believe we want to replace plastic or steel. We may have to give some benefits, pricing benefits to the customer and customer. So we would do that from a strategic perspective in some categories in order to grow volume. And our goal is definitely that glass, or rather our belief is that glass is a healthier alternative to eat out of. And therefore, we want to encourage our customers to switch from plastic and glass to steel.
So is it safe to assume that till the full ramp-up happens, we may have some dip in EBITDA margin in the intermediate period?
I would not like to comment on that because I don't know. Obviously, our endeavor would not to have any dip in only growing the margins. But there are too many variables here to quantify because this is a small part of the overall business. So whether the dip will be meaningful or whether we can avoid it or whether we can increase our margin, this is, frankly, I don't know the answer to this question. It depends on many factors. And I would say that once the operations are stabilized, which I'm sure will happen, like I said, in 2, 3 quarters, then the margins will only grow. So what happens for 3, 6 months in the middle is not really that relevant. Obviously, our endeavor will be to only grow margins, not have any dip.
And sir, my last question. So at optimum capacity utilization, this furnace can generate annual sales of how much? Means to three times our annual current sales?
For press products. So what we show in the presentation is glassware sales. Pressware products is a subsection of it, maybe about 50% of it. So yes, three times of our press product sales probably.
No, would you repeat? I didn't get it, sir.
Of our total glassware sales, press is a way of making glass. You can press it, you can blow it, you can make tubes from it. So this furnace is a pressware production. So about half of our glassware sales is coming from press, the press technology, let's say. And we can triple that.
Okay. So, okay, three times the means one and a half times of the current sales, right?
Yeah, of course, the others will also sell. You're right, but the others will also. So we'll also increase sale of other products where we already have extra capacity. So, but yes, you're right. In principle, you're right.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Aditi Patel with Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, a very good afternoon to you, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So my questions, with in lines with pressware facility, the new facility. So what would be the current operational efficiency with this?
At the moment, I think it's about 60%.
Okay. And we could obtain an optimum level in 6 to 7 months, as you mentioned.
Yes. That's the goal.
Okay. And so I believe that we are still importing a certain percentage of products in this division. And what would be that percentage?
We will not import. We import products in other we have products which we don't manufacture. For example, steel we don't manufacture, which we import. And like I said, there are some blown products in glass which we don't manufacture, which we will continue to import.
Okay, and that's
overall import percentage will drop this year. I think our overall imports will be less than 30%.
Okay. Right. Maybe
even 20%.
Okay. Right. And so, for this year, all our capex that we had planned, is they are operational now, be it pressware, be it opalware, everything is operational right now. And I believe we are targeting to achieve a good optimum capacity utilization with these and increasing the margins with that. So, what do you identify as your, major sales driver for this year? I mean, in terms of, revenue guidance, what do you identify as the major sales growth driver?
In terms of product category or,
In terms of product category.
Yeah, so glass will definitely be one of the major drivers in terms of growth, revenue growth. And of course, Opal, also we have capacity left, so that will also, we should be able to grow that business as well. So the glassware and opalware, I would say, would be the two main drivers of revenue growth.
Okay. And for opalware, are we planning any further capacity addition? Because I believe that we are already running at around 60 to 70% capacity utilization, which we will fulfill by quarter three also going ahead.
At this very moment, we are not planning anything because we are looking at premiumization of our opalware range as well as, utilizing the 100% capacity. So at this very moment, no.
Okay. And so lastly, one of our capex which was put on hold for backward integration, do we have any guidance for that?
At the moment, so that will now come under scientific division. That will not come here. So that's mainly for scientific. So that's on hold only. I don't think we are at the moment looking to get into that.
Okay, but that was, helpful for the raw material side of consumer division as well, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. But at the moment, we are able to source this at very low prices. That would not, at this current moment, we would like to, operationally, let's say, stabilize our current production, what we have just done, and maybe we can relook at that in the coming year.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Pratik Banthia with Kirik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, I would just like to know how much are you going to spend on advertising in the forthcoming years as a percentage of sales?
It's going to be in the 7.5% range, 7 to 8.
And in FY24, what was that number?
Also same, similar.
Similar. Okay. Yeah. That's it from us. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Pratik with Shubh Labh Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shivan. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Shivan, congratulations for a good set of numbers. I just have one question. So, will the company structure now, very, very segregated? Is it fair to assume that the earlier mixture of bandwidth, managerial bandwidth, is three now and there will be a sharper and, a dedicated focus on all three verticals separately, if you can, help us understand from a managerial perspective?
I'm sorry, you were a little bit muffled, but what I understood is you're asking about managerial bandwidth across the businesses. Is that right?
So I'll quickly repeat my question. Sorry, sir. Is it fair now? Is it good now?
Yeah, better.
Yeah. So I just want to understand with very well segregated company structure, in three divisions now, well listed. The mixture bandwidth which was earlier there, is it optimally free now, but for a sharper and dedicated focus?
So frankly, the bandwidth has not changed in one way or the other because the businesses were already always operated as individual units only. Now only the legal structure has evolved to reflect the reality what was already present. So in that sense, I would, of course, during this process, for example, now we have a CEO of our scientific business. So to that extent, that gentleman will take more responsibility in terms of the 360-degree overview of scientific business. But that's the natural progression and it doesn't really have much to do with the particular restructuring per se. So I don't necessarily know if the bandwidth there's any changes because, like I said, we were always operating, and I believe that we have been focusing on each of the businesses to the best of our abilities independently anyway. So I don't see much change there, frankly.
Understood, sir. So going ahead, it should be more about the capacity utilization in our consumer business, which should be driving the growth and margins accordingly.
Yes, absolutely. And I believe we have, reasonably strong teams across all our organizations, all our three, companies. And they are well suited with or without this, let's say, restructuring to drive growth. And I think there's a track record also now of that.
Understood. Very helpful. Thank you and all the best, Akshay. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan with Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. Just a couple of questions. One is that in the non-glassware categories, the selling stoves and also some of the other things like microwave ovens. So how do you call out your differentiation there? Because these are the very, very entrenched product lines, and where if you look at it, your right to win is very high in terms of opalware and the glassware. In non-glassware, how do you call out for attention and is there a differentiation strategy there?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think we debated this a lot before we actually entered the business. And I believe there's, two or three points that we have tried to focus on. The number one is in terms of we have stuck to a premium quality position, okay? So as I would call it mass premium, we have identified, let's say, all the materials that we use, whether it's appliances or the insulated flasks or even the steel servingware, which we don't manufacture. We have identified the core raw materials to be used. We specified them from our vendors and we do a rigorous quality control check and ensure that we are getting the best in class of, as we have specified. The second point is in terms of customer insights. I think the products themselves are made keeping some customer insights in mind, which customers expect from a brand like Borosil. For example, our motors will have only copper winding, not aluminum. Okay, as an example, our blades for mixer grinders would be stainless steel 304 grade. Others may have different ones. We will have longer cords, which allow people to use, be in kitchens, with the plug to have more flexibility in putting their appliance in a place away from even the power point. So, I mean, I'm giving you two, three, but there's many such examples. So our focus has been to listen to the customer and then develop the product. As far as right to win is concerned, I think distribution also plays a role in that. And I think we have a very strong and loyal distribution base. And we finally, after-sales service, I think our after-sales service has a turnaround time of 3 days across the country. So we respond to customer issues quite rapidly, which is also one of the main reasons why customers, buy from us. And look, proof of putting it in the eating, the non-glassware was virtually zero in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, and it's almost a 400 crore category and we have been, you know, posting good growth and probably industry-leading gross margin. Although I don't share that data with you, with, you know, outsiders. But in principle, I think we have shown that we have, we've made a good position for ourselves. Although definitely we're not market leaders, but we have a good position, yeah.
Across the three channels, three different categories, what's the kind of a channel break between whichever way you want to look at it, either large format store slash e-commerce as well as, you know, EBO, not EBO, MBO. So what is the channel mix across all these three different,
I would not share percentages with you, but in principle, I can tell you that general trade is the largest, and we do reasonably well. You know, our growth numbers in general trade are quite good. And then e-commerce would be the second largest. In large format stores, we are not that strong.
Okay. And what kind of business come from CSD products?
What products, sorry?
Business comes from the defense canteen, CSD.
The defense canteen. So there, actually, listing is a big challenge in defense canteen. So listing of products, it takes a long time, and they only list very few items at a time. So we are much stronger in glassware in canteens. And recently we've been adding, you know, new SKUs, of course, but we don't have anywhere close to the full range we would like to have in the canteens because it takes a long time to list. We hope that it'll change in the future, but I would not like to share exact numbers with you, but in principle, I would say glassware canteen drives some good revenue from glassware.
And the non-glassware, I presume, entirely outsourced production, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Hitesh with Kosha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shiva. Congratulations on the growth here. I think we have been outpacing most of the peers not in the listed but also in unlisted space. If you can probably share what is, you know, and bulk of this growth is coming from the categories where the level of competition is also very high. So you did mention about how different Borosil is vis-a-vis the product development, the after-sale service. But then otherwise, on the sales strategy part, could you just highlight what different are we doing vis-a-vis the competition?
Frankly, I tell you, it's a very difficult question for me to answer because there's no one silver bullet. I would say our teams are highly motivated. You know, in fact, our manpower cost, as you can see, as someone already pointed out, is quite high. So we compensate them well, and we expect, you know, results also from them. And we have, I would say, built a team for a 2,000 crore turnover while we are, you know, at 900 crores or even actually before that. So our size of teams are bigger probably than our competitors. I think they're hungry. They're quite hungry for success because their compensation is linked to it. We also have, you know, ESOP schemes which we give our people. So I would say we have a very well-motivated team. And it's not one person. It's across the board. And that's something I believe is a key source of our key, let's say, reason for growth. Because markets keep changing, you know, I would say pricing also is, you know, up and down, you know, it depends, you know, month to month, even region to region. But I think I would just appreciate my team for achieving this number. And I don't believe there's any one product or any one channel or any one, you know, strategy that has given us this growth. Very frankly, that's my honest answer to your question.
Sure. Within the non-glassware, I'm sure you'll not give numbers, but any specific category where you're seeing a higher growth, which category has contributed to the higher growth last year in the non-glassware segment?
Bottles in general have done well. You know, your insulated bottles have done well. Things like, I think things like your juicers have done well, you know. I think there's a lot of focus on healthy products. And those products have done well for us. But I would say I review the growth numbers quite frequently and I see that we have a pretty, you know, double-digit growth across almost all the products that we are in. So some of us higher than others, but like, yeah, within that I would say bottles, some appliances like juicers or whatever.
Sure. And this BIS norms that have come in for the vacuum flask, will you see that having any impact? Because most of it is imported for us also, right, where the BIS may not be followed.
So the industry as such is dependent on imports because the local ecosystem is still not developed. It will take some time. We have also started sourcing locally this product category. And if you can see, our working capital has gone up because then we have imported, you know, a reasonable amount of stock for this year. While we develop the local vendor ecosystem. So that is, so we expect, I mean, it will have a short-term impact, but I think the local ecosystem should also develop quickly. There are already quite a few players who are started producing this year. Obviously, the challenge, you know, I would say China, they have built that ecosystem over a long period of time. Obviously, we won't need that long, but I would say it will take some time to replicate that in terms of new products, you know, new product development specifically, which will be impacted. But the you know, whatever products we're already making, I think getting it made in India is not such a big challenge.
Got it. And lastly, on this expansion into Borosil, I mean, this furnace that we are setting up, see, we have been in the industry, probably the oldest player in the glassware, right, amongst the peers. There's a big capacity that now we also have. Laopala is also expanding. Cello is expanding on the soda lime side. So, and you did mention about how you aspire to introduce more SKUs, which will probably help you grow the market. Now, when all the three players are expanding, we'll probably try to stock the channel. And, you know, there's a, you know, these are breakable items, right? So there's only limited shelf space that a dealer would have.
Yeah.
You see that as a challenge in terms of stocking, you know, given that all the three players would be equally aggressive to have a scale there?
Well, frankly, I think I would change the perspective of this question. I don't think we are competing with Cello or Laopala in glass. I think all three of us are competing against plastic, okay, and against steel in to some extent. And I would say that we have, as a, you know, as an industry, we would have to take away share from unorganized players as well as from steel and from plastic. That would be a target. If we achieve that, we could do much better than taking away share from each other, which is, you know, the pie is too small. So I do believe that if we come up with innovative products and good products, then we'll find shelf space. I don't think pricing is the determinant of shelf space, frankly. The shelf space, the determinant is the value for the customer and whether the customer is coming and asking for the product.
No, when I meant pricing, I meant the dealer incentives that will probably have to be given if you need a shelf space there, right?
I mean, if you look at the history, last few years, all three players have expanded their full capacity also in the same period of time. I don't think anyone has gone down that road because, like I said, when everybody knows that in glass, specifically glass manufacturing is a very high capex business. And sometimes you have a lot of maintenance capex also. So unless you make margins, you can't sustain the business. So I don't think any of the players have a short-term view on life. And I think this is a mature industry. And they are all, you know, top class, you know, I would say competitors to have. So I don't see any short-termism coming in that way. Because even actually in the past, when we were smaller, and we expanded from one furnace to two, you're expanding 50%. Now when you go from two to three, actually expansion percentage is reducing. So, I think there's a lot of import substitution that will happen. You know, the shelf space we'll take away from imported and you know, like I said, the non-organized players as well as maybe plastic. So, I don't sense a big problem.
Yeah. Got it. And lastly, what is the break-even capacity or break-even utilization for the glassware furnace?
I mean, specifically I don't have an answer. But broadly, in a glass furnace, I would say rule of thumb, 60-65%.
Which we plan to hit by Q3 of this year, right?
Yes, absolutely. We should try that at least.
Okay.
That's the goal.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Ankur Shah with Quasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So apart from the reason which you explained, is there any reason for a sharp increase in working capital?
No, the main reason, there's two reasons. One is explained the BIS issue for our steel models. Second is, as I said, we have been working on a capacity utilization of 80% for opalware. And that capacity utilization, we've been producing at 100%. So we know we'll be able to sell the inventory. So these are the two main reasons.
Because if I add for the gross margin, we are running at least like two quarter inventory.
We are having two quarters inventory. Yeah, for, like I said, it's coming from opalware and the BIS.
Okay. And so second question is, so while you switch to Indian manufacturing, what is the effect on the ROC? Because I'm sure you would have made that calculation, because the first business is quite asset-light because it's more or less trading. And
ROC will, in the short run, till we achieve capacity utilization, ROC will fall, no doubt. And it has, if you see, last year we were 16-odd%, this year we came out of 15. But in the once you hit the numbers, the capacity utilization numbers, ROC jumps. So we are in this for the long haul. We are not looking at quarter to quarter. So it's okay if it falls for.
Which I agree, but like because you also mentioned that you would be going aggressively on the volumes because of which maybe you might take price cuts. So generally, trading to manufacturing switch involves a margin rise and which takes care of the ROC. So since you're going to pass on that benefit, how do you see the plant ROC versus the trading business ROC?
The plant ROC should be higher than the trading business ROC. There will be 1 or 2 years of flux. Okay, in between there will be 1 or 2 years of flux because the whole matter has to settle because the third element is also volumes, right? When you're trading, you buy only what you're selling. Here you have the production is kind of fixed. You have to produce a certain amount for having some basic scale benefits. So till you hit that mix, which takes a year or two, then you may have a short term dip on the ROC numbers. But like I said, as per our calculations, once we are able to hit cross 70-75% capacity utilization, the ROC of this business is north of 20%.
Sure, sir. Thanks. And the last question is on the non-glassware business. Sir, are we able to find victory positions in certain category of products where, you know, we feel that, you know, these categories would be, you know, sort of established categories going ahead? Like, I'm just asking from the mindset that people think about Borosil when they buy in that category.
I mean, again, India is a large country and we have many different types of customers and also we have lots of product categories. I would say that in some product categories, for example, appliances, if you go on Amazon, I'm just using Amazon as a benchmark, we are already number one or number two in some, like, for example, OTGs, oven toasters or juicers. We would be number one, number two, or maximum number three, okay, in a few categories already. So people are definitely coming and asking for our product or rather, you know, putting Borosil as a brand of choice there. Is the same thing happening in the trade channels? Maybe not at the moment, okay? It will take time to establish. In the trade, we have done very well with bottles. So people have come and asked for bottles. You know, we personalize bottles also with people's names and so on. So people come and they like it. So obviously, our endeavor is that what you mentioned is to get people, even in non-glassware, to come and ask for the product. But and obviously, we have done some good work here because we, you know, sales have grown from virtually zero to almost 400 crores in the last, you know, 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Can I say that I've already mentioned that we are the industry leader by any stretch of imagination, but we are working towards that, you know, goal. And of course, within pockets, there will be some channels and some products where we already have a good, very good position. But I would say vast majority, we are not the leader yet.
Oh, okay. Sure, sir. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Tiang Cheda with Vellum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Just few clarifications. So FY 2024-23, since we saw elevated capex cycle, we have roughly invested 325 crores. I believe that is for the opalware furnace. And then in FY 24, the capex was roughly 200 crores. I believe that would be for the new pressure glass furnace. Am I correct on this understanding?
I mean, broadly, yes. Most of it is there, but we also invested, for example, in a solar park. We had some other, yes, but broadly, right.
So solar investment was around 40-50 crores, right? So the furnace, pressware furnace was around, would be around 150 crores.
That's right.
And if I've heard correctly on the call earlier in this call, you did mention that the new pressware furnace of glassware, you expect peak sales of around 300 crores. Is that understanding correct at the peak utilization?
At full utilization, yeah, between 250 and 300, depending on product mix and pricing. Yes, that's right.
Got it. And what would be the capex budgets going ahead, sir, for FY 25-26? Where are we broadly planning?
Yeah, about 100 crores capex this year. Okay, that is for some debottlenecking, some another solar and some capex. All put together will be about 100 crores. Now beyond this, we have not. At 25-26, I don't have any plans at the moment. So
100 crores for this year.
Yes.
Broadly into solar and some other debottlenecking, right?
Solar, debottlenecking, and we have to rebuild our furnaces, both our open glass 1 and 2 furnaces. We have to spend the money for it. When the rebuild will happen depends on the life of the furnace.
Right, so when you undergo for a maintenance, is there any chance of debottlenecking opalware capacity also?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's the goal. That's right.
So we got it. Correct. Correct. And on the gross debt of around 150 crores, given that this year where we are all, when we are going live with one furnace in glassware, and when with the gross debt of 150 crores, and I believe significant of the amount of cash flow that would be generated internally would go into working capital requirements. So any other plans that you have, given the debt of 150 crores we have, how do we think about the further capital allocation on the balance sheet to strengthen anything that you're looking out for, equity raise? Any thoughts on that?
I think we had already announced that we were looking, we got permission to raise equity up to 250 crores. We've not done anything yet on that, but we have permission to raise equity up to 250 crores. So we may choose to do that at the appropriate time.
Got it. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. We have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Well, thank you everyone for active participation in our quarterly conference call. Just to summarize, we had a good year as far as growth is concerned. We continue to work on improving margins. We are quite bullish in terms of the future, where we are positioned and also where we see our demand in our country going. So thank you all for your support and patience and so on. And we'll look forward to interacting with you next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.